And for the next few weeks, we'll be in the Gospel of Mark. And what we're going to find in the Gospels, and we've seen this in other places too, is that Jesus is often getting in trouble. And the thing that he gets in trouble with the most from the Pharisees and from the Jewish higher-ups is about the Sabbath. They're always harping on him about what he is doing and not doing on the Sabbath. And in our gospel, we get two stories about how Jesus, in their view anyway, violates the Sabbath commands. And what we're going to see is at the heart of these passages about the Sabbath and Jesus is this this idea and this truth that true refreshment, true restoration comes from Jesus, and he desires to give it even and especially on the Sabbath day. In this first passage, just before this, Jesus was having a discussion with the Pharisees and others about why his disciples don't fast, why they don't refrain from food and other things as though they're in mourning. And Jesus tells them, well, it's because they're with me. I'm here now. They should be rejoicing. When I'm gone, they'll have time for that. But right now, we celebrate. And the Pharisees didn't like that. And then as they're leaving that conversation, Jesus is now walking through the grain fields with his disciples. And as they're going, it's the Sabbath day, the disciples are plucking heads of grain to presumably make bread later on, or maybe they're just eating them right then and there. I don't know. But the Pharisees don't like this. And they have good reason to, actually, because it's right there in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, that you're not supposed to harvest on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do this kind of work. They're going against the law. And so they challenge Jesus about this. And in true rabbinical fashion, Jesus answers their challenge by telling a story. And he tells another story from the book of, I think it's 1 Samuel, where David, who is not yet king, at least not officially recognized by the people, is out with a group of soldiers. They're hungry, they're famished, they desperately need food, and they come across a temple, the house of God. And the only food available in the temple is called the bread of the presence. It's bread specifically made to be a sacrifice for God. And the only people who are allowed to eat this bread by Old Testament decree are the priests themselves. But David and his men are hungry, and they ask the priest for five of the loaves of bread, and the priest has no problem whatsoever giving the bread to David and his men because they are desperately hungry. And Jesus upholds this, that this Sabbath is, as Jesus said, the Sabbath isn't, man isn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for man, for humankind. It's made to give refreshment to them. And who are we to withhold refreshment and restoration of all days, but especially on the Sabbath? And in this story, Jesus also proclaims himself then as the Son of Man to be Lord of the Sabbath. He is in control. It is the day that he, the Lord, has made. The Sabbath, Jesus says, is to be a benefit to people, not a burden. Because that's what the Pharisees were making it out to be, a burden. A bunch of rules that they got originally from the Old Testament, but they kept adding rule upon rule upon rule to it, Jewish tradition that says you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. It became a burden instead of a benefit. And Jesus seeks to change that, to restore it to what it is supposed to be. But the Pharisees don't like this. They're on high alert now. They're waiting for Jesus to really push the boundaries even further. And so as Jesus goes into a synagogue, which he does, he travels about the country. He goes into synagogues and he does teaching. And as he goes into the synagogue on this Sabbath day, presumably to do some teaching, the Pharisees are watching him closely because they know that there's an opportunity here to see just exactly how far Jesus is willing to go. Because sitting amongst the congregation in the synagogue is a man with a withered hand, is what it says. It's essentially a dried up hand that is there, but it's totally useless. It's just withered. It's not useful. It needs to be restored. And these Pharisees, they know Jesus. They know that he has the habit of healing people, that he has a soft spot for people who need to be restored. And so they watch him to see, will Jesus heal this man on the Sabbath or will he not? Now, this doesn't seem like it should be a big deal to us. When we read this passage, we should think, well, of course, if there's somebody who needs help, even on the Sabbath, you go to it. You help the person. Hospitals don't shut down entirely on a Sunday. They still receive people. They will still help people. But the Pharisees want to see what Jesus will do because by their tradition, not by the Old Testament this time, but by their tradition, this man should not be healed. So Jesus calls the man forward and he says to everybody there, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" Now, we know the answer to that, right? It should be, well, obviously, you should do good. You should not do harm. Obviously, you should save. You should not kill. And the Pharisees, I guarantee you, knew also what the answer should be. They should have all said, yes, you do good, yes, you save, and even their Jewish tradition would have allowed them to say that. But they remain silent. And this angers Jesus. It grieves them. He is saddened by their hardness of heart, their callous nature. And so Jesus, with his word, heals the man. Stretch out your hand, and the man's hand is healed. And amazingly, so disgusted by this are the Pharisees that they leave right then and there. They go out. They ally themselves with their own enemies to see that Jesus will be destroyed. Now, as we read these passages, we know it's not hard to pick out who the bad guy is in these passages. It's the Pharisees. It's not hard for us to agree completely with Jesus and say, well, yeah, of course. If you're hungry, if you are famished, you need food, you eat. It doesn't matter if it's a Sabbath. Yeah, of course. If a man has a withered hand and you have the power to heal and do good for them, it doesn't matter if it's the Sabbath, you do it. You give restoration to that person. We don't have an argument with this. But what our problem is that we have often let the pendulum swing completely opposite to the other way. Our problem actually lies over here on the opposite side of where the Pharisees are. But the reality is, both problems are the same. They both forget about Jesus. They both forget about his word. See, what we do, what our temptation is to take Jesus' words about the Sabbath, that the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath, and think, well, I have free rein. I can do whatever I want. This is my day of rest. I'm going to use it how I want. My body feels withered. I'm tired. My spirit, my soul needs refreshment. I'm going to go find it out on the lake. I'm going to go find it on vacation. I'm going to go restore myself by sleeping in a little bit. I'm going to go and spend time in the garden or do anything other than go to where Jesus and His Word are. And so either side of the pendulum that you're on, your problem is the same. You've forgotten who the Lord of the Sabbath is, who declares how rest, restoration, how refreshment comes to us on the Sabbath. And this isn't to say that vacation or sleeping in is bad and that it doesn't actually do some good for us, because it certainly does. But it doesn't have the Word of God. The withered soul is withered by sin, and sin can only be taken care of by Jesus Christ. Like the withered hand, our souls need the Word of Jesus to give us life again. Jesus desires to give us His refreshment, desires to give us His restoration, and He desires to do it in a specific way. Through the preaching and reading of His Word, through the administration of the sacrament, where we eat the true bread of the presence, drink the true wine of the presence of Jesus Christ, His body and His blood given for you for the forgiveness of sin, to be your nourishment throughout until we receive it again, to have Jesus as part of us. This day, this service, was made for you, for your restoration. And so now I bid us to come and receive the nourishment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, help us to be restored and refreshed by your word, by your nourishment, by your body and blood. Help us, O Lord, to be unwithered, to be restored at peace with you. We pray this in your name. Amen.